This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
They're trying to stop me because they know that I don't answer to them. I answer to you. It's true.
It's not only shameful. This is actually, Chris, the biggest threat to our democracy since the Civil War. It's all from within because we have a deeply, deeply disturbed party with populated now by people who are day in and day out ready to put the interests of that party ahead of the nation and ahead of the Constitution.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
So Republicans, if we don't fight back now, do you realize what they're doing? Media polling is a joke. 17-point deficit in Wisconsin. My opponent was tied with me. I won by 10 points. He raised $2 million. He takes a bogus poll and sends it out to his supporters. They get all jacked up. They send in money. Republicans get depressed. This is a racket. Social media censors conservatives when we want to talk to each other, get our point of view out. The state of play in America in 2020 for Republicans is not good. We need to fight back. We win because of our ideas. We lose elections because they cheat us.
Fox News is saying Trump's legal challenges. That's how they're down on the chyron on the bottom of the screen, not reports of voter fraud, election fraud, but no, Trump's legal challenges. A new political poll shows 70% of Republicans say 2020 election was neither free nor fair. 90% of Democrats in the political poll say the election was free and fair. Well, I guess I would like to thank the 10% of Democrats to see what's going on, or maybe I would like to ask the 30% of Republicans if they were dropped, I don't know, possibly from a high distance, like a changing table landed on your head as an infant. The 30% in this poll, right, according to Politico, feel the election was free and fair. Republicans did. What? Stop. I'm never, ever again going to believe a liberal or Fox News poll ever again. I'll share them like I am this poll, but only to show their absurdity. Do you really think there's 30% of Republicans that thinks what's happening is free and fair? Come on. What makes an election free and fair? Well, Joel Pollack, a guest of show here for Breitbart, he had a headline that said this, what I just quoted you there, 70% of Republicans say 2020 election was neither free nor fair. Now, he found this, and I thought that this was the most astounding thing in this article that he wrote. The Interparliamentary Union, that's an international body, and they set standards for determining whether an election is in fact free and fair. Well, should we go take a look-see here? And I'll let you fill in the blanks with your answers to my questions. And if you are a Democrat listening to the show that has some sanity and will actually answer these, you're out there. I know you're out there. I will actually answer these honestly within yourself. Come on, I'm not asking you to go in front of your circle of friends and say that what your answers to these might be, but inside your own heart, mind, body, and soul, answer these. This is, again, from the Interparliamentary Union, international body, standards for free and fair elections. To express for everyone together that to express political opinions without interference makes an election free and fair. To express political opinions without interference. Has that been allowed to happen? To seek, receive, and impart information and to make an informed choice. Has that been allowed to happen? To move freely within the country in order to campaign for election. Was that allowed to happen? To campaign on an equal basis with other political parties, including the party forming the existing government. Has that been allowed to happen? Every candidate for election and political party shall have an equal opportunity of access to the media, particularly the mass communication media, in order to put forward their political views. Is that allowed to happen? A lot of these violated. The social media censorship, the coronavirus restrictions, the violence, the political violence. So if you want to say it was free and fair, you have to disagree, I guess, with the way that you view reality. I saw all the fits that were thrown in 2016, right? And then that turned into vandalism and rioting and burning and destroying cities and violence that led to death. Now, suddenly, what? Because Joe Biden has declared victory? You're talking about unity? And somehow what, the riots are suddenly going to be over because on Time magazine, the cover has A Time to Heal, straight out of Joe Biden's victory elect speech, I guess we'll call it. You know what it is? It's like these, I guess, Farrah Fawcett movies, right, where she would play the abused wife and he'd tell her, hey, just purdy up. Come on out. Just purdy yourself up right now. Yeah, a time to heal. No. Being told it's time to heal and cozy up to people who actually for 4 years told us that they hate us? Spread the message. Demand that we got to get back control of our schools, man. They're indoctrinating kindergarten to college. You think it's a time to cozy up right now? Just going to stop the battle for the heart, mind, body, and soul of this country? No, they got people waking up. We got people that actually enjoy their own private property. You actually have people that actually want to worship as they want to without, you know, having attacks on our rights. And there are a lot of God-fearing, patriotic Americans out there. And I quoted him yesterday, and I'm going to read the entire quote right now from Ronald Reagan, former President Ronald Reagan. Quote, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free, end quote, Ronald Reagan. Now, if you're not in your sunset years, do you want to have next year, the next year? Do you want to be grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa with your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids? You want to just have them only, well, I was going to say, see in the history books. It'll all be purged. The purging. The Trump campaign argues that Constitution's Article 1, Section 4 gives the state legislatures, not any kind of state or judge, municipal executive agencies, control of elections. And it's true. They can fight it in the court of law, but they're going to have to fight it in the court of public opinion. Let's get your public opinion. 559-247 CALL 559-247 call. Ellie, welcome, sir.
I want to say, you know, I'm a Jewish and we're learning the Holocaust in the school. And, you know, the main question, how all the German saw it happen and nobody say nothing? And I look at the digital world that's been built here, you know, with Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and everything. And basically, the right is in a ghetto. That's what it is. I mean, they put them like, they treat you like the way they treat back then, and nobody on the left say anything.
Are you, Ellie, are you talking about the social media purging, the digital wall they built up and haven't allowed conservatives into?
And where are the conservatives? They all put you in a ghetto. You can see only each other. You can't talk to the rest, to the world. I mean, like, they like, pack you together like they did in Germany. They put you in a ghetto, and from there, whenever, you know, like, and what I'm saying, you realize we basically 50-50. Is not the left, it's bigger than the right. We basically around 50-50. It means we have the same power that the people on the left say, you know, and it's now is our turn to call to all those places that take the left side and tell them, you either treat me as American, as American, I can believe think and talk about anything I want, or I boycott you. I mean, like, they don't have more power than us. They go and do it. We don't do it. We just sit and watch. Everything collapse, everything fall, and we hope it's going to be okay. We need to make sure it's going to be okay. We need to go out there and do exactly what they do. I mean, I know when I ask you to take side, all I ask you is to be fair and treat me as American and start to put me as a right or as a left, because we all American after all, right?
Well, that's the concept. As Benjamin Franklin said, madam, we have yourself a republic if you can keep it. I would like to say we're all Americans, Ellie, but you mentioned something about how they went to the ghetto. You were talking about, I assume, the Jews in Germany, correct, before they went to the concentration camps?
Everybody say, how come the German see it and nobody say nothing?
Well,
and
here, I wanted to add to that there were a lot of Jews that went to the ghetto thinking it was just temporary, right?
Yeah, the thing is, okay, whenever, let's see where it's going. I mean, nobody know where it's going. I mean, if they know, it will be different. But like I say, the people that was from the side watch it happen, nobody stop it. Nobody say, hey, it's wrong. And we see the same pattern right here.
I don't
see even one person in all America with over 300 million people show me the one person say, hey, enough is enough. It's wrong. Everybody need to be heard. And if you don't like what he say, don't listen to him. I mean, like, what is shut me down because you don't like what I say, because you think I shouldn't say it or whenever?
Not a time to cower. I agree, Ellie. Thanks for the call, buddy. 559-247. Call Bill in Fresno. Hi there.
Hi, Trevor. Hey, let me expand on that. Not a time to cower. Remember last election cycle that the Republicans had 2 years in Congress as the majority?
Yep.
And nothing got done. And I mean, absolutely nothing. The status quo.
Oh, you mean the Paul Ryan and the Sunshine Band time period?
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to join. We're jumping on board the bandwagon. We're just going to start playing with the Dems. Okay. Here's what needs to happen. I'm a registered member of the Republican Party. The National Committee of Republicans needs to step up. They don't need to cower down this time. If this goes down where Biden wins and all these changes start to come in, the only thing I want to do is put them on notice. Every Republican that's holding an office, fight, or we're going to get rid of you. That's the note. That's the message we need to send to them. If you're going to lay down like a dog in the street and pee on yourself because you're not in the majority and Biden's in there raising hell on this country, then we need to get rid of them. They need to fight. I want to see as many Supreme Court cases on Biden that we saw with Trump. If he signs an executive order, I want it in court. I want them fighting every second of the day. I want to hear impeach 46. If we get the majority, that's exactly what I want to hear. I want
Bill, I like your fire, but you know what impeach 46 would mean? That would mean President Kamala. And I don't know about that.
Kamala Harris.
The latest on the Valadao Cox race, and we stay in COVID red. And your calls, 559-247-CALL, 559-247-CALL.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
After update from Kern County, T.J. Cox picked up 723 net votes, but still trails Valadao for the 21st Congressional District seat. Of course, we saw what happened in the midterms. It was about a week after. What? Huh? Seems like the election was a lot longer than a week ago, but then again, we're living in COVID times. 559-247 call, Robin Fresno. Welcome to Power Talk. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Trevor. How you doing?
Good, sir. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say something real quick. That Office of President-Elect thing, that was a thing that Obama came up with, if you remember, when he first got in. So maybe Joe Biden asked him to dust that out of the closet for him and get it.
Was Obama the first to sport that?
Oh, yeah. He brought the podium out and everything. He would give parallel press conferences. And, yep, he even had it on the side of his plane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So he was the one to get that role. So, yeah, they just pulled it out of their so one of the mansion garages they probably had it stored in, or the Obama library somewhere.
Yeah. But, yeah, I wanted to say, though, I had an observation last night. I had the opportunity to see some news broadcasts that were from other parts of the world. And this is going on in a lot of other countries right now. You have presidents that are being ousted by opposition leaders and being placed under arrest. You have faulty elections going on. It pretty much parallels this. And I just wanted to see, I know people aren't really hearing about these things.
Any country in particular you remember that?
The Ivory Coast, there was one going on where the opposition leader was arrested for setting up a parallel government, supposedly. Peru, they just did a impeachment thing for some sort of election fraud. And the president there was actually ousted and thrown out of office, and the contested opposition leader was installed. I mean, there's a couple of different places.
Well, yeah, Rob, they always say the oldest profession known to man is what?
Well,
rigging elections.
Yeah. But now we've joined the party, so.
Here we are. We know who ushered us right into. We know who gave us the invitation to this party. We were like, no, we don't want to go to that party. That's going to be a crazy party. People are going to get hurt at that party.
Yeah, we want to take some distance from that party.
Exactly. Rob, thanks for the call. Tim and Clovis, you're on. Hey there, Tim.
Hey, Trevor. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for calling.
So I have the perfect analogy for this election to give everybody hope and a good chuckle.
I need that. Go ahead. I'm ready to laugh.
The Democrats spent 4 years trying to make this their Alamo, and instead it has turned into an O.J. Simpson-style high-speed car chase. They ran through the light. They got caught. They shot at the police officers. Now they're going headlong in the wrong way against traffic, full speed ahead. And we all know how this ends.
Tim, Agent Squires this weekend, I sent him a text. I said, I actually literally hadn't been this upset since the O.J. verdict. That's how I felt. So, Tim, we're along the same wavelength right there. We got to fight. And, yeah, there. You know what? Just like during the COVID, there's too many quiet Republicans. There's too many quiet Republicans right now that need to. And I'm not talking about, you know, we the voters, we the citizens. I'm talking about our elected officials. Man, they need to be steamrolling this.
Yeah, all of Trump's coattails that won their state races, they need to be leading the fight in their state. I don't care if Trump won the state, they still need to investigate their own states for fraud and show the trends and the strategy that the Democrats used.
You know what it says to me is that they feel that if they stand up for the president right now, even though the odds don't seem in their favor, that then they'll be ostracized.
Well, I'm talking about Veterans Day. So I hope that gives a lot of people some perspective.
Yeah, well, Tim, I heard truckers are going to make a big stink tomorrow on Veterans Day about the fracking industry that Biden and Harris Harris and Biden want to implement if they continue this. Well, Tim, thanks for the call. We're going to go Coors Gold way, and we're going to talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, and Coors Gold.
Hi. Oh, thanks for having me.
You betcha, man.
Well, nevertheless, the ballot problems, you know, but I just like to make a certain bullet point. You know, it's kind of a question. You know, the Democratic collusion with the media, why isn't anyone looking into this and trace the PAC money? Maybe Biden didn't take foreign cash, but it went somewhere.
Well, you know what, Paul, they've created is like, you know, you started a list there of things that need to be done. That list could probably go on, you know, probably into the hundreds of things that need to be looked into. It's almost, it almost feels overwhelming. Like, I use the analogy, Paul, that, excuse me, if there was a flooded basement, you know, up 5 or 6 feet, and you had the job of cleaning that flooded basement out, and they gave you a roll of paper towels, and they said, here you go clean out, and they go, oh, by the way, there's alligators down there, too. That's almost what it seems like to clean out this swamp, that it would that would feel like where we're starting right now. The last, 4 years, especially the last 2 years after the Mueller investigation said no Russiagate, You know, where was the Department of Justice? Where was the whole Durham investigation? All these things we thought were going to happen that they would have been held criminally liable for, but they weren't. And what's human nature? If you get away with something, you just keep doing more evil deeds if you have an evil heart. And they do, and they have. And they haven't been stopped at any point along the way.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. And, you know, one man, the president, has the most powerful position in our country. A lot of people say in the world, the leader of the free world. But one man cannot make the decisions unless he's a dictator. And that's what they called him. But he didn't. I mean, if he wanted to be a dictator, he had the chance during COVID, right, to step in and be like our governor here in California. Paul, I'll give you last say, sir.
Well, I like your say, and yeah, that's the big problem is that there's so many grains of sand, so many cookie crumbs. Where does this start?
It starts with these brawny paper towels. Now, Paul, head down the steps, and you clear out that flooded basement and alligators, buddy. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. I'm going to try and explain kind of simply how mail-in ballots are supposed to be counted. You know, we do have laws. How they're supposed to be verified to prevent fraud. And we'll compare it to what's happened. We'll do that next.
Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Little freeze warning tonight. Chilly. We are such thin-blooded, weather-acclimated West Coast people out here because once it gets into the 50s, after the summers that we have, we get all like elderly women. I need a shawl. It's a little cold. I mean, it gets in your bones, man. I've had I can't believe how quickly I've turned my heat on at times. I'm like, but that happens. Seasons change. Government Accountability Institute Research Director Eric Eggers, he's the author of Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election. He's talking about Michigan and Pennsylvania and all the histories of voter fraud. They have. I was talking with Liz Peek about the 7 Philadelphia area election officials that have been arrested for what we're saying is happening, or at least needs to be investigated to see if all the proof is there from what we're seeing right now. Let's go to, let's see here, Representative Doug Collins talking about, or excuse me, Jeff Landry. He's the Attorney General in Louisiana. There's a bunch of Republican Attorney Generals have gotten together and said that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania can't get away with what they're actually doing. It's like the referees changing the rules. This makes a lot of sense.
In this particular case, we believe it's akin to the referees getting to change the rules of the game midway through the football game, and being that we're in football season, I think every American can understand and appreciate that. And we believe that's exactly what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did. The referees, which are the judges, don't get to write the rules. That's the legislature. And unfortunately here, we believe that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did exactly that by rewriting the law.
You hear a little Cajun in there, can't you? Maybe something you weren't aware of. Maybe when you hear things like this, you'll say, you know what, maybe we should kind of take a minute, hit a pause, like 37 Al Gore day pause, right? Let's go here. This is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm sure they endorsed Joe Biden for president. This is from an article in their newspaper. The top election official in Pennsylvania 4 years ago resigned quietly after the election. Now, why would the top election official in Pennsylvania resign quietly? Well, emails obtained by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette showed that Pedro Cortez was actually fired by the governor because he presided over a system that allowed for what he called a glitch that allowed illegal votes. Nothing to see here. Please keep moving. Philadelphia had an election judge arrested this year for stuffing ballot boxes because they're paid by political operatives. Nothing to see here. Just keep on moving. Keep on moving. That's why this mail-in voting, by far the most easiest way if you want to do any kind of voting fraud. Plain and simple. That's how you do it. Would you give your wallet to somebody and ask them to take it to the bank for you? Go give them your ballot. Have them take it in to be counted. Mail ballots actually require different processing procedures. Here's what they're supposed to do. And if they did not do these types of things, then invalid. They got to check the ballot envelopes for eligibility. They got to check the signature. They have to sort and prepare them to be scanned. Now, most election jurisdictions have barcodes on ballots, and that helps them track and verify the ballots. Barcodes are placed on ballot envelopes as well to help counties track the ballot processing and hopefully to prevent duplicate votes from one voter. Ballot tabulation machines use a master barcode. It's located on the ballot itself, not the envelope. Now, the envelope we sign, and they have to match the signature. They say there's a master barcode. This is according to the 2019 National Association of Secretaries of State report. They said the machine, now this is what I don't understand. They say the machine is able to identify which candidate the voter selected using the barcode. Maybe why I'm confused is this is electronic voting, where they vote on a touch screen, maybe not a ballot, because there's no way you fill in a bubble. You know, my bubble fill in with a black pen is not going to affect a barcode. So I guess this is all with the electronic voting. On October 27th, U.S. District Judge issued an order halting South Carolina counties from rejecting absentee ballots due to missing or mismatching signatures. That's not fair. That's why the rule was put into place with mail-in ballots, to make sure that it matches, like a bank going, oh, you want me to cash this check from, oh, his signature doesn't match. Ah, that's okay. Don't look at signatures over important stuff, you know, like bank accounts or voting or DMV. Nah, you don't, your will, right? Your will. Well, this will says that you get the $1 million, but the signature doesn't match up. Ah, don't worry. You don't need to look at that. That's what they're saying right now. Most states have signature verification that allow voters to correct, or as they call it, cure ballots when the signature doesn't match on one file. As we've seen, the New York Times said signature matching is a good way to ensure security and transparency. Says the New York Times it's congratulating President-elect Joe Biden. Actually saying, backing up what we're complaining about right now. Mail-in votes are pretty easy to verify through an audit because they're on paper ballots. This whole thing is blowing up, and I knew because we saw it happen in 2018, right? We probably affected by it before the national RNC even really got a whiff of what they had to what they were going to face. We saw it happen here, in 2018. We always go back to former Congressman David Valadao, looking like he's on his way to become the congressman again in the 21st Congressional District. Kern County reported 4,211 votes in their district. As Alex Tabley in San Joaquin Valley Sun breaking down this race on election, I let us know Kern County, a lot of Democrats. They went 58.6% for T.J. Cox in Kern County, now trailing David Valadao by 4,570 votes. But it's a four-county region. Kern County is just one of the regions that compromises the district. They still have the most votes left to count. Todd at GB Wire article estimated 40,000 votes still to go. Kern County's been strong for T.J. Cox. In 2018, he won the county by 61.2. And as we've seen, here's some of the breakdown between T.J. Cox and David Valadao right now. Fresno County went Valadao 26,000 to 24,000. Tulare County, basically a tie at 2,200 each. Kings County, Valadao at 25,000. T.J. Cox at 15,000. Kern County, that's where it flips a bit. Cox at 19,000. Valadao at 12,000. So total votes right now, 66,383 for David Valadao, 61,813 for T.J. Cox. So you see in these elections why going, well, what can I do? Well, if you convince two people that it makes a difference in these kinds of races. We are expecting Fresno County update. Here later this afternoon, GB Wire estimates 12,000 votes in Fresno County remaining to be counted. Now, Kings County has about 1,000 votes remaining. And Agent Squires, you tell me they COVID shut down their voting tabulation center, their election headquarters there in Kings County. It's going to be down till November 21st. Since it's COVID time, I'll remind you it's Tuesday, November 10th right now. So November 21st, Kings County will not be remaining. So can you imagine it gets down to a 500 vote difference and then Kings County sitting there going, well, we have COVID, we have to wait. Yeah. Okay. Well, that could happen. A few hundred remain in Tulare County, as we've seen. So this election season, right, that's what Fresno County Registrar of Voters Brandy Orth has warned us about. I saw that in an article with some other organization here talking about it's, we got to get over this idea of it being election day. We got to have an election season, right? Why do we not want an election season?
This election is not over. Far from it. We have only begun the process of obtaining an accurate, honest vote count. One party in America that opposes verifying signatures, citizenship, residency, eligibility. There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party.
We know the Democrat Party. We're very familiar with them. Since 2016, they have, you know, they joined the president on Inauguration Day asking us to come together. Democrats joined the movement in the rebuilding of the great economy. Democrats joined us in making sure that anybody that came into our house, we knew who they were at the front door. You had to tell us who you were. You just weren't going to sneak into our country. They joined us with all that movement, man. I mean, bless their hearts how they said, all right, you. Donald Trump, boy, he sure did surprise us. We got a little egg on our face, but hey, we're all Americans, right? And Hillary. Oh, Hillary didn't do a national book tour saying that this is an illegitimate president, did she? None of that happened. None of that happened.
Oh, happy day.
It's true.
Oh, happy day.
I had no idea how enraged I had been all for these last 4 years.
Me
I was
neither.
Really when I started crying, that's when I knew. And I want to tell you, foreign leaders were elated. They know this means a return of U.S. leadership. You know who has become a crybaby.
Oh, you tell us, Whoopi. A crybaby. That's what President Trump is, a crybaby.
Crybaby in Wawa Chief. It didn't go our way. Hillary did not whine. Hillary did not quine. She did not say we need a recount. She said, okay, you won fair and square, even when we knew the Russians had been in there. She did not say, well, I should be president now. She didn't. She did what you're supposed to do. If you don't win, then you say, okay.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows.
He knows. He knows he's an illegitimate president, right? Oh, yeah, it's all about getting together, coming together now, isn't it? Even the Washington Post, they're pushing for the president and those in his administration to, what, leave on January 20th? No, they want to put him in jail.
One of the traditions that we have, another tradition in our democracy, is that, you know, a new administration from the other party takes office, and we don't try to prosecute or really pursue the previous administration, people in the previous administration for wrongs they committed. Generally speaking, we don't. I think that's a tradition. Frankly, we're going to have to take another look at.
Well, we're going to have to take another look at that, are we? Don't put him in jail, are you, Eugene Robinson of the Washington Post? What does citizen Joe Biden's COVID guy want to do with the virus, with the vaccination that's hopefully right around the corner? It's funny how they say all this after the election, right? Funny how Pfizer waited 6 days after the election, right? We'll talk some COVID next, and it's still red skies at night. No purple rain here in Fresno County.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hey, in your spare time tonight, why don't you look up the Logan Act, L-O-G-A-N, the Logan Act, and you'll know why Joe Biden shouldn't be behaving this way.
Foreign leaders are already having phone calls with Joe Biden talking about the agenda they're going to pursue January 20th.
Yeah, go ahead. Look up the Logan Act. You'll get it all figured out. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, he was named to Joe Biden's coronavirus advisory team. He published a paper arguing that any coronavirus vaccine should be distributed globally according to something called the Fair Priority Model. Can you imagine if before the election, Joe Biden, when they talked about COVID, you know, in all the press conferences that he did, but can you imagine at one of the debates, well, what the Biden administration is going to do is have the Fair Priority Model. We're going to make sure that the vaccine will be distributed globally, not to America first. But that's what we're hearing now. After the election, it all comes out, right? They argue there should be a fair international distribution of vaccine rather than what he and his co-authors call vaccine nationalism. They said prioritizing older people would mean sending a disproportionate share of vaccines to rich countries where average life expectancies are longer. The globalism comes shining through. Oh, we'll be hearing about the poverty gap around the world and why you don't deserve to have the vaccine if you decided you wanted to take it. If you wake up one day and say, Operation Warp Speed, here I go. Well, let's see right now. The company Pfizer claimed that they were not part of Operation Warp Speed, but they actually bragged about their involvement in it in July, and they have a $2 billion contract with the U.S. government to deliver 100 million doses with an option to deliver 500 million more. Americans will receive the vaccine for free thanks to the Trump administration policy. Could it be that this cat, Emanuel, that's going to be Joe Biden's his top COVID guy, you know who he is. He's the brother of former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, former Barack Obama's former chief of staff. See? They keep the Illuminati close to the vest, don't they? Some country music stars are getting tired after they saw the Joe Biden fake news victory and everybody go out and celebrating because all their concerts have been shut down. Morgan Wallen. You ever heard of him, Morgan Wallen, the country guy? I have to go next door to the Wolf and ask, but he's big enough. He was going to be performing on Saturday Night Live, so he's a big country name. It's probably one of those things, if I heard his song, I'd be like, oh, okay, I've heard that song, but I don't know the name. But he was spotted partying without social distancing or face covering, and Saturday Night Live blocked him from performing because he got caught out in public doing a no-no. The hypocrisy is beyond with this one. Morgan Wallen, the country star who got kicked from Saturday Night Live, said, time to start booking shows now. If you don't agree with me, fine. We can still be friends, but I have a family, band, and crew that need to be provided for and taken care of. If it's okay for us to party in the streets and no social distancing, then we can book shows right now. He's talking about everybody out over the weekend, celebrating the whole Biden thing. He was spotted at a crowded house party with no face covering or social distancing. That's why he got kicked off last month. Brian Kelly, one of the two dudes from Florida Georgia Line, shared the same photo, said it's time to start booking shows ASAP. The Warp Speed is coming out thanks to President Trump. Yes, this is true in a lot of people. And, you know, this goes to show what capitalism can do. This was the private industry. This wasn't the government doing this. 90% effective in stopping the virus, they at the office of Pfizer do say. Think about it. Flu vaccine, anywhere from 30 to 60% effective, and that's on a good year. So we don't know when this will be coming out to the general public. Pfizer said they expect to be able to produce about 50 million doses by the end of this year, up to 1.3 billion in 2021. But those 50 million doses, it's really 25 million because it's a two-dose vaccine. So cut that in half right there. Novavax has received fast-track authorization by the FDA for their coronavirus vaccine. So wait till all the commercials hit TV and all these. That's what it will all be. Forget heart disease or high blood pressure or anything like that. Forget erectile dysfunction even. It will all be COVID, 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 COVID. Vaccine, vaccine. This is the one to take. This is the one that has 97%. We have 92%. We only got 80%, but hey, it's half the price. You know, we'll start to see all these things showing up. The Wall Street Journal editorial board says the apparent breakthrough is a credit to the innovative capacity of the private pharmaceutical industry. Pfizer has developed the vaccine using its own capital. They also had some coming from the government as well. But as they say right here, Pfizer's developed this. It requires making a return on investment, which the politicians in both parties should keep in mind when they promise price control on drugs. That would mean fewer resources to tackle the next coronavirus or deadly disease. It's private business that got this going, but no, it needs to be the government.
Well, it's good news, bad news, George. The good news is the Pfizer tests look good, and we'll have a vaccine shortly. The bad news is that it's about 2 months before Joe Biden takes over, and that means this administration is going to be implementing a vaccine plan. The vaccine plan is very important, and it's probably the most ambitious undertaking since COVID began. Just to put it in focus, we did 120 million COVID tests in this nation over 7 months, scrambling, doing everything we can. We now have to do 330 million vaccinations, maybe twice. My state does more testing than any state in the United States. We did 12 million tests. We have to do 20 million vaccines. And the Trump administration is rolling out the vaccination plan, and I believe it's flawed. I believe it learns nothing from the past. They're basically going to have the private providers do it, and that's going to leave out all sorts of communities that were left out the first time when COVID ravaged them.
Oh, come on. Why does Cuomo believe it's flawed? Because the government doesn't control the whole process. This was done in private USA. He said it would slow the process. Newsflash, Cuomo, it's not private companies that slow down the process with regulations. It's government red tape. And the more the government's involved, the more the process is going to be slowed down. It's so obvious. You just want to make – that's Governor Cuomo right there making sure. He's just like Newsom, that the government, not private industry, gets the credit for saving America from something that we are now learning takes about the same number as the flu does. Mayor-elect Jerry Dyer announcing he has COVID. Got it, I guess, from that election party. Follow his progress as well. He said, I started experiencing a light cough late yesterday morning out of abundance of caution. I took a second test. I was notified, came back positive. Headache, body aches, chills, a little mild fever. He said, I'm starting, though, to feel much better. I would equate my symptoms, at least at this point, to a severe cold or mild flu. Till somebody's in the hospital, it's not a case, man. That's how I look at it. Until you get real sick, we're going to talk about more of it. The election coming up. Clear it. It's a total attack. Next.